Okay, everybody, so we're starting a brand new perek. Today's daf is daf lamed, and we're starting on chof tes amid bay. Zok the Mishnah. Hamevi kade yayin mi mokum la mokim. Lo yevien besal ube kupa. Avamevi hu al ksefoi oy lefonav. What is our Mishnah telling us? As we've learned in the last few Mishnayos, it's very important that even those malachis which are permissible min ha-toira on yontif, nevertheless, because of what we call uvdo dechoil, the way you're operating, the way you're acting, it looks so weekday-like. Because of that, the Chachamim said, you know what? You have to make shinuyim. It shouldn't look like a masa dechoil. So, for instance, Rashi says we're talking about a situation where there is no problem with an Erev. You're allowed to carry. There's no problem of the Tchum. You're within the Tchum. So therefore, what's the problem with carrying outside Kadeyayin? Says our Mishnah, you cannot bring the Misal Ubekupa in a basket or in a box. Because by definition, says Rashi, that means that you're carrying three or four barrels together in a box or inside a basket, and therefore the average person thinks, does he really need all of those barrels today on Yontif? It looks like a masa choil. It looks like he's schlepping things as if it was during the week, where you're schlepping and you're pulling and you're pushing and you're going and you're coming. It takes away the whole spirit of the Yontif. But what you can do, says the Mishnah, is maybe I'll say for it. Says Rashi, when you take it on your shoulders, you can only take one or two at a time, and then people will automatically assume, I know why Yankel Smith is carrying on his shoulders one or two barrels. That's to enhance the Simchas Yontif. Apparently he doesn't have enough wine at home for purposes of making Kiddush and for all of his guests. So it's readily understandable that he's taking a barrel with him. But to go and take three or four, that already looks like a masa choil, and that's why that is prohibited. So he could take it either on his shoulders or the fun of, which means in his hands, as opposed to taking it in a basket or a box. And the same thing applies to the Mishnah Moilich es ha-teven, a person who is carrying teven. Rashi says the purpose of the straw either is to make a fire or to serve it to his animals for food, for cattle fodder, etc. So once again over there, when you're carrying the box or the bundle or whatever you're carrying the teven in, don't go and, oh, it says box, kupa, don't go and schlep the box in back of you. Again, that looks like, Rashi says, a melacha rabba. It looks like you're taking it long distances or you're taking a very large masoi. Don't do that. Maybe you can go and take a smaller amount in your hands, which looks like the normal amount that you would need for yontif. It doesn't look like you're a schlepper doing uvdin the choil. It looks like whatever you're taking is whatever is necessary for yontif. Moreover, the Mishnah says, Umaschilin ba'arei masateven. We're on top of Lamed Omer Aleph. Umaschilin ba'arei masateven. An areima is a heap or a stack. In this case, it's a stack of straw. And you're allowed to start a new arei masateven. What does that mean, you're allowed to start it? So look at the top Rashi. Rashi explains, Umaschilin ba'arei masateven lo hasek, in case you want to go and take some of the straw for purposes of fire. In other words, for fuel for fire. The Avabish Leizim, even if he didn't go and he wasn't mazmin it, that means he didn't prepare it the day before and say that this is going to be for Yontif. It also wasn't the norm on a daily basis or on a weekly basis to take from their tevin for purposes of the fire. And therefore, the fact that the Mishnah says that you can go and take from the Arema Sateven, even though you didn't prepare it and designate it in advance, it sounds like, says Rashi, Mashma Dules Le Mukta. Sounds like this is Reb Shimon speaking, that there are no Mukta restrictions. But Pella upon Pella, the Mishnah continues on, Aval Loi Be'etim Sheba Mukta. What means Etim Sheba Mukta? Mukta, we all know what Mukta means, But here, this word mukta means a special long-term storage bin or storage shed in back of the person's property. And he typically only goes there, you know, once or twice a year, probably before Pesach, to check if there's any chametz or what have you, or to put away the chametz tikka kelim and extract from there the Pesach kelim, something that he went to very rarely. And that's why it's called muktzah, meaning even during the week, it was maktzah midata. He didn't typically use it. Yeah, once in a while, once in a blue moon. So says our Mishnah, you're allowed to go and take the tevin from this mound or stack of straw, but you're not allowed to take the eitzim out of the muktzah from this restricted, limited area in back of your home. And therefore Rashi says, don't we have a contradiction in terms within the same line of the Mishnah? Because the previous, we said you're allowed to take from the Aremis HaTevin, and Rashi says, Mashma the Lesle Muktzah. And here it says, but don't take Eitzim Sheva Muktzah, is Mashma that there is Muktzah. So make up your mind, is this Rabbi Shimon speaking? Is this Rabbi Yehuda speaking? And the Gemara will address this a little bit further down the Amud. But in the meantime, the Mishnah, the Gemara initially addresses what we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, that it should not look like Uvda Dechoyl, you should make a Shinui. As you recall, we said a person who's schlepping and carrying Kadim, those are barrels of wine, he shouldn't go and take three or four Vesal of a Kupa, but rather he should take them on his shoulders or in his hand as a Shinui. Zokti Gemara, Tona, Im'i Efshe L'Shanoi Smuter. Avada, it would be nicer, it would be better if you can make a Shinui. But if you cannot make a Shinui, then why couldn't you make a Shinui? Says Rashi, remember how we explained it in the Mishnah that the Sal Uba Kupa is talking about that he was carrying three or four barrels. That looks like an Uvda Dechoyl. It looks like he's doing a Tircha Yaseira. However, if he's only taking one or two, that looks like it's with Tzorich Yontif. But what happens if you happen to be one of those gracious hosts and you're having 25 people in your sukkah for Yontif? And therefore, you have so many people, you need three or four barrels, and you don't have time to go back and forth multiple times. Oh, if you have no choice, then you are allowed to do it after all. Mutter, meaning b'di'evet. Not l'chatchila, but b'di'evet. And now, the Gemara tells us, Iskin Rav b'mechoyze, as we know, Rav was the Rav in Mechoyze, and he instituted that when people are carrying things on Yom Tov, they should make shinuyim, and therefore he said, "Didoru bedoichka." The person that usually schleps bedoichka, lidoru beragla. He should rather do it from now on Yom Tov beragla. Didoru beragla throughout the week, he usually does a beragla. Then on Yom Tov, he should do a lidoru beagra. If throughout the week he does a doru beagra, on Yom Tov, he should do a lidoru beachba. If throughout the week it's a doru beachba, nifrei sudra al ilave. Now, what are all these terms? So there's a machlokes among the mafarshim exactly how to define the terms, but the way Rashi explains it is the following. The doru bedoichka means, says Rashi, that a person would normally schlep a very heavy pack, for instance, on his shoulders, either a barrel of wine or a sack, a big sack full of items, full of peiros. So if that's the way he would normally carry it throughout the week, and you can see that he's huffing and puffing and nebuch, he's schlepping this heavy package on his shoulders or on his back. So what should he do on Yom Tov? He should do it, instead of bedoichka, he should do it beragla. Of course, ragla normally means regel, with his feet. But Rashi explains ragla over here means with an asar. Asar means with a pitchfork. And apparently, if you put the barrel or the sack on the pitchfork, it's much easier to schlep in the Rishus Rabbim on the street or on the roads. And therefore, we have now a shinui, which says Rashi is a shinui lehokel, which makes it easier for the person to go and schlep it. And therefore, we want to minimize the tircha yaseida that this person has on Yom Tov. And if a person usually throughout the week used a pitchfork, today he should do it biagra. What means biagra? Says Rashi, he should take two people and let them go and carry it on a mote. Mote is a pole, and the poles would be part of the pole would be on Yankel's shoulder, the other side of the pole would be on Beryl's shoulder, and they would carry a box or some sort of masui by carrying that pole. Since two people are doing it together, that's ulta shinui l'hakol, because each one is carrying 50% of the load, and Baruch Hashem, that makes life a little easier. If normally throughout the week they would carry it to two people with a mote, with a pole on the two shoulders, today, on Yom Tov, they should go and carry it with their hands. In other words, don't put the pole suspended in mid-air over the people's shoulders, they should go and carry it in their hands. Here Rashi said it really is not a shinui lahakel, but it's also not a shinui lahachmir. In other words, it doesn't help the situation in terms of carrying. Apparently, carrying on the shoulders, carrying the hands, is basically the same. However, it's still a shinui. And we want to make a shinui l'kavod Yom Tov. It shouldn't look like uvda d'choil. It should like, we want to enhance and not denigrate or minimize the kedusha and the tahara of Yom Tov, the Yom Tov spirit. Now, what happens if throughout the week you usually have two people carrying it with a pole in their hands? So now, nifrit sudra ilave. You should go and put on it some sort of shawl, some sort of scarf over the chavis. And Rashi says that the sudra we're talking about is very lightweight, so it doesn't really add. Otherwise, it's probably 3 ounces, 5 ounces, whatever. It doesn't add to the weight. However, just by draping it with this shawl, that in itself will show, oh, people say, oh, you see, it's a kavod Yom Tov. To go and show you that it's not choil, it's a special day. V'imloy afsher, what happens if he doesn't have such a shawl? What do we do now? Shari, then you can go and carry it like usual, the Omamar, like we quoted right after the Mishnah, imi afsher l'shanois, if he's not able to mutter. And in fact, Omer le Rav Chanan bar Rav le Rav Ashi, Omer Rabbanan kam di efshe l'shnuye mishaninan b'yoy metava. So now he's continuing on and telling us, like we just finished saying, that it's important, when it comes Yom Tov, make a shinui. The reason why you want to make a shinui, once again, it should look like it's Yom Tov, and not like a weekday. So now, Rav Chanan bar Rav opposed to Rav Ashi, that since the Rabbanan instituted and legislated that you're supposed to make a shinui, what about Bohani Nashi, those ladies, the Kamalian Chatzvayu Maya B'yoymetava, V'loy Kamishanya, and V'loy Amrinalu, V'loy Mivi. As you know, in the good old days, they didn't have faucets and sinks like we have today. People that wanted to have water for their families would have to go somewhere to a well and would have to draw water in a big bucket and schlep the bucket full of water home. So these women, the Kamalian Chatzvaya, they would fill up their buckets, Maya, with water, V'yoymetova on Yom Tov, V'yoymikashanyan, V'yoymirilumina, they don't make any shinoi, they don't put it on their head instead of on their shoulders, or on their hands instead of on their shoulders, or shoulders instead of their hands. They carry it the normal way that they do it throughout the week, and nobody says a word. On Malay, Suravashi said, I'll tell you why, it's very simple. Mishum Goloi Efsher. Like we said before, im I efsher lishanois mutter. Why go efsher? Heicha levin. What should we do? Tamali bechatzva rabba. Tamali bechatzva zuta. Oh, I have a good suggestion. Instead of them carrying these big, heavy buckets, let them go and take smaller containers, like a smaller pitcher, and they'll go, instead of going once, they'll go back and forth twice or three times. But at least they won't be schlepping these big, heavy buckets. But says Yimor, Kamafsha Birucha, then you're causing them to have the Tircha Yaseira that they have to go back and forth two or three or four times. The Mali Bechatzva Zuta, if you're telling us that throughout the week they usually take a small bucket, to Mali Bechatzva Rabba, and now we're going to let them take a big bucket so that they will not be Mapish Birucha, but rather they will shorten their walking, they'll only have to go once, they won't have to go twice or three times, Kamashi B'masi, but then they're schlepping, and it's very heavy. So, either Shinui, which sounds like a great idea, is only causing more problems than it's worth. Oh, I have an Eitza, Techasi B'nichtema. Apparently when they covered these buckets, they were without covers, so maybe we should institute, like we said before, putting on a sudr. We should institute that they should have to cover their buckets. Says the Gemara, Zimnin denofel v'asil asuya. You know what might happen? The cover of the bucket might fall to the ground, and the person would come to go and carry it. Says the Gemara, Tiktorei, I have a good idea. Let's go and tie the lid of the bucket to the bucket so that it shouldn't fall off. Zimnin the mifzik vasel miktorei. Sometimes, you know, over time, these lids, these covers will tend, the rope that is connecting them may eventually get frayed, and I am afraid that the cover, therefore, is going to fall down, and a person might come to tie it on Yantif. That's a kasher. Kasher, of course, is one of the Lamates Malachis. Oh, Tifrei Sudra Levei. So let's just put a shawl on top of it, like we said before, when you were carrying the barrel. Says Yomar, V'zimnim demitmish b'maya, v'asel l'dei schita. Since we're talking about buckets that don't have lids on them, if you're going to put a sudr, as the women are walking, you know what might happen? The sudra might fall into the water, and then they won't be able to use it anymore unless they go and squeeze out the water. And of course, squeezing out the water is schita, which is a told of mefarik or dosh. And hilkach le'yefshe. So therefore, all of the likely alternatives are not good, and therefore, just let them do it the way they do it throughout the week. And that's the end of this shtickle, but we're going to come back in a moment to our women that are carrying these buckets of water. We're going to discuss that in another moment or two. Omli Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan li Abaye. Tanakh. Ein metapkin, ve'ein mesapkin, ve'ein beraktin. The reason that we're going into this inyan is because we just said now that l'chadchila one should be mishana. But what about those women that are not being mishana? We don't say anything to them. We don't tell them off. We don't instruct them. We don't educate them. We let them continue doing things the way they've been doing it for so many years. So therefore, the Gemara now brings a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, which talks about the same type of issue. What is that issue? So now we learned in a Mishnah. On Shabbos or on Yontif, Ein Metapkin, one's not supposed to clap. The Ein Mesapkin, you're not supposed to go and clap. When we say metapkin, it means clapping with your two hands together, like we typically say in English, clapping. Here, mesapkin means to go and take your hand and hit it against your thigh. Again, to make noise. The Ein Meraktin, and also don't go and dance. Now, all three of those, says Rashi, the reason why you might be clapping, or the reason why you might be hitting your thigh, or the reason why you might be dancing, could be either mishum shir or mishum evil. Because of shir, that you want to sing, and that's, you know, people are clapping when they're singing, they're patching, they're making noises, they're shouting, and they're dancing, mishum simcha, or chas v'shalom mishum avelis. Avelis, when people want to, the Gemara tells us in the good old days, you used to have the women that would go and make noises, like wailing noises, at the time of a levaya to go and show their grief. And so apparently part of that was also banging, oi, 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 Mr. Smith passed away, etc., etc. So all of those types of noises and those types of acts one should not do on Yontif. Why should one not do them on Yontif? Because of, I'm afraid, that you may come to wish an accompaniment with a clay shear. By a velis, since we're not accustomed to normally having that type of conduct at Levayis or because of a velis, so it sounds a little strange, but at least Legabi shear, we can appreciate that when people on Yontif are singing and dancing and all the rest, then they're going to take out musical instruments, and the musical instruments may break, and the person might come to fix it, and so you got all types of makiv patish and things of that nature. So therefore, says Yomar, don't do any of these things. We see that people on a regular Shabbos, people are clapping and people are dancing, and what's going on? And for the Yomar, he answered him rhetorically. Hadi Omar Rovo, probably Rabba, it says on the side, no, Ches, Rabba. Hadi Omar Rabba, Loylesev Inishapuma de Lachia, Dilma Megandale Chevitz, Vasily Suyei, Vahani Nashi de Shakan Chatzvayu, Viasan the Yasan Apuma de Mavu of Layamrina Lulay Midi. Well, what is this all about? So back in Masechtas Erevin, we learned at very, very great length that when you have a mavui she'enei mafulash, mavui she'enei mafulash is what they call today a dead end street, or more charitably, they call it a no outlet or a cul-de-sac, that you have three walls, and if you drive your car into it, you can't continue on, you have to go make a U-turn to get out. Okay, so are you allowed to go and carry within that cul-de-sac on Shabbos? So the Gemara in Erev then tells us, yes, min ha-Torah you're allowed to, because min ha-Torah you only need three walls to form a Rishus HaYachad. The only problem is that if I am walking in the street and I look at this cul-de-sac without realizing that it's a cul-de-sac, but I see that people inside the cul-de-sac are carrying across the streets within the cul-de-sac, so I, the person who doesn't really know what's going on, walking down in the Shisarab will think, hey, maybe there's an Erev in the entire city. Or maybe there is no requirement of an Erev at all. Maybe this is some sort of moratorium on Hilchos carrying an Erevin. And I see everybody's carrying. And I know those people in the cul-de-sac. Yankel Smith, on Erev Chayid, I know Ayid Atzadik. If he's carrying, it must be permissible. So therefore the Chacham said, you know what, the people shouldn't have that misconception that we have to go put up either a kora or a lechi on the front of a mavli, and that's like putting up a big sign saying, Rabbi, this is a mavli for she'enim mafulash, and you're allowed to go and carry. So by putting up the kora or the lechi, it's a machlokes whether it's mishum machitza or mishum heker, but the important thing is people will notice and note the major difference between the Rishus HaRabim and that mavli. Now, in Masechtas Edavin, we learned that a person who is carrying something in the Mavli, which is totally permissible, because it's a lechi with a koira or whatever, he should not sit at the very out edges, the outward edges of that Mavli next to the lechi. Why shouldn't he sit next to the lechi? Because maybe one of the objects that he was holding might roll or slip out of his hands, and it's going to roll into the Rishus HaRabim. And what's nature, the natural tendency of a person, when they one of their objects drop, they immediately go to pick it up. And guess what happens? He's going to go and carry it now, either from the Rishus HaRabim into the Mavoi, or he's going to carry four amos in the Rishus HaRabim itself. That would be very problematic. So therefore, Rabba said, back in Edavin, Loilesev Inish, a person should not sit apumad lechia. Apumad lechia means at the outer edge of the lechi. Lechi is a pole in front of a mavoi. Dilma meganda lechefetz, because maybe a chefetz is going to roll out of his hands, but also lesuin, he's going to come to go and carry it. So that's it. Makes a lot of sense. However, hani nashi, the women, the shaklan chatzvayu, they are carrying their buckets, for azal yashana pumid mavur, they sit there at the opening of the mavui, probably to rest a little bit. We don't say anything to them. We should go and say, wonderful, tired Yiddish mamas, lovely ladies, you know, what you're doing is problematic, because if chas v'sholom, if your bucket should go and roll out of your hands, slip out of your hands, then you're going to come and schlep it and all that, and you have a problem of carrying Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachad, and back and forth, etc., etc. But we don't say a word to them. So what was his response? The kasha was, how come when people are clapping their hands, or when people are dancing on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, we don't protest, we don't say anything? Why not? We have a takana of the Chachamim that you're not supposed to do those things on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. So he answered him back, well, what about those women that sit at the front of the Mavoi and we don't say anything to them? People that are set in their ways, that we are convinced are not going to change their ways, no matter how many times we tell them, let them just continue doing what they're doing, so it should remain a shogeg and not a mezid. So just like by the case of the women, we don't say anything. Hachanami, the same thing by the clapping and the dancing, we don't say anything. Hanach lam Yisrael, mutvishu shogeg ve'al yil meziden. However, immediately the Gemara says, v'ani v'il v'drabon. That's only if you're talking about a tekana drabon. Both in the case of the mavui, the concern that he might go and the whole union of the lechi and the korah in the mavui is all drabanim. Min haTorah, you're allowed to go and carry, in this Movish Eina Mefulash without any tikkun whatsoever. And the concern that it might fall out of your hands, that's just a further extension, if you will, of the whole concern about this Movi Mitalechi and the Korah. So if it's all Draban. And similarly, the case of the Metapchin, all of that is because I'm afraid that you're going to go and be Metakim Plishir. Again, that Chshash is a Chshash Terabanan. This person may say, I have nothing to do with musical instruments. I wouldn't even know how to play harmonica. I don't know how to do anything. And it's time I'm not a musician. So therefore, these are Dinam Drabanan. Okay, is Achzei good? So, say, we're not finished with the Gemara. So it therefore says the Gemara, okay, so you're looking at the Toises Tanan, in the top of Meraktan, right? Doesn't apply. Good. Shkoyach. Fani bilu draban. That's why drabanan shoygin and not mizin. Abi deraisa loy. But he talk about din deraisa and not teira doshenisht. So it's more of a loy. Loy amrin lo loy midi. If people are set in their ways and they're not going to change their ways. Even if it's Diraisa, we don't say anything. I'll bring Yeriah. Torah Yom Kippurim Diraisahu. At the end of Masechtas Yuma, we learned by the fact that it says in the pasuk, "V'nisim nafsi sheichem b'sisha lachoidish ba'erev me'erev al erev tishbuzu shabatchem." The Gemara says, "What are all these erev and erev from the v'nisim nafsi sheichem b'sisha lachoidish?" On the ninth day, you do inoy. So yes, we're familiar with the Chazal that whoever eats on the ninth day is as if he is fasting both the ninth and the tenth. But the Gemara also dashes from the same pasuk, the nisan of Shecha Basisha Lachoidish Be'erev, that you're supposed to be Moisif Alakoidish, both Lagabi Din of Inui on Yom Kippur, and the same thing applies every single Shabbos. That's what's known as Toisa Shabbos, so we add a few minutes before Shkia, you're not supposed to go until the very final moment. So Toisa Yom Kippur and Diraisu, the din of adding a few minutes on Erev Yom Kippur is Menatoyra. The achli b'shasi atchechasheicha. Yet there are many people that eat until the last second, until Shkia. We don't say anything to them. We don't say, Yankel, you're not allowed to do that. So you see that even b'diaraisa, mutav shiyu shoygigin v'al yumezi. So now before we continue on, there's a very famous Balhu Itur on this Gemara. Balhu Itur is a Rishon who says that even though the Gemara says the din of Mutav Shiyu Shoygin Vayumezidin applies across the board, even to Diaraisis, it's only Diaraisis which are not Beferish in the Pasuk, which are based on Droshois Chazal. After all, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah Beferish that you have a din of being Moisif Inui on Erev Yom Kippur. It's just based on the Pasuk. Tishal HaChodesh Be'erev, Me'erev on Erev, we know that you're supposed to be Moisif. But it doesn't say clearly. What happens if, however, a person is being over on a deraisa where it says beferish in the Torah, where there are no two ways about it? It's a beferish aposik, and the person is not obeying. Then you are supposed to go and be mochiach, and that's of course that's aligned with the famous Gemara. The Gemara says hoicheach toicheach es amisecha, and the Gemara says afilu mea pa'alim. You are supposed to say. You are supposed to go and tell a person if he is sinning or doing something wrong. It doesn't mean that you have to go and scream at him in front of 100 people and then chas v'sholom be mavaza the person berabim and cause shvichas damim. That might even be worse than what the person did initially. However, in a nice, idle fashion, you can go over to him and say, Yankel, Yankel Smith, you're probably not aware of the fact that there's a Befeirish Apostling in Parashas Bereishis, or in Vayikra, or Shemois, or whatever, that says X, Y, and Z, and you're violating it. You wouldn't find it in Parashas Bereishis, because there are none of the mitzvahs. The only mitzvah they had in Parashas Bereishis was, of course, the mitzvah of the Eitz Hadas, but that doesn't replicate itself nowadays. There are a lot of other things you're not allowed to eat, but you don't find it in Bereishis. You find that in Vayikra and in Devarim. Anyway, but the point is that if you have a Befeirish Psukim, then you are supposed to be Mechiach, you're supposed to tell the other person. Furthermore, if you know that this person is an edel mensch, an erlich mensch, and that he will listen to you, even if it's only a drabanon, you could say to him politely and nicely, Yanko, you're probably not aware of this din drabanon, you're not supposed to sit here in front of the lechi, at the outside of the... Oh, I didn't know that. Where does it say that? Oh, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. Really? Where? It's a Gemara Daf Lamed in Maseches. Oh, I didn't know. Thank you for telling me. So if the person is receptive, yes, should you tell them even Rabbanit. And if the person is not receptive, if there is a Pasuk in the Torah, you're supposed to go and tell him. But if you see that you've told him numerous times and it's not working, then you can cease and desist. Anyway, these views of the Baal Iter is brought not only by the Mefarshim, it's brought lahalacha and Shulchan Aruch, that in fact, if a person is violating a D'oraisa, you are supposed to be Mechiach him and not say, Mutav Shiyu Shoyigin, Baal Yiyu Mezim. Okay, so let's go to the second part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah, we had a stira. It says that you're allowed to go and take some of the straw from the Arema Sateven, from the stack or heap of straw, because apparently there's no din of mukta, but don't take from the Eitzim Sheba Mukta, don't take from any of the lumber or any of the wood that is accumulated in your long-term storage in back of your house. So apparently there is a din of mukta. You remember that Rashi and we, when we went through the Mishnah, already commented that there seems to be a contradiction in the same line. Is there mukta? Is there not mukta? Omer Rav Kahana, Zuyse Meres. By the fact that it says, Maschilis Baremes Ateben, Maschilin Ba'oitzer Tchila. That you're allowed to go and start the Oitzer on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. Here we're really talking more about Yom Tov, because we're talking about Lahosek, to go and make a fire. You're allowed to Lechatchila go to such an Aremas Ateben and take out some of the Teben, and for instance, either on Yom Tov to go and for a fire, or to go and feed to your animal, no problem, you're allowed to go and take it out. Even though you hadn't used it and you had not been mazmin it for a while. Mazmin you didn't have in mind, you didn't go and designate it, you didn't prepare it from Erev Yom Tov, you're allowed to take some of that Teven. So you want Mani Reb Shimon, that's a famous Reb Shimon, the last thing booked. Okay, that's a double push. But don't take any of the Eitzim which are in the Mukta, in that long-term storage in back of your house. It's a son of Rabbi Yehuda, the Islam Mukta. So don't we have a stira? Is there Mukta? Is there no Mukta? If the Mahacha ba'arzi ba'ashuchi askinan to Mukta machmas chasorn kis ba'fil Reb Shimon moide. Oh, as we've pointed out in the past, even though we have a machloikis throughout Shas between Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Shimon, your mukta or nish mukta, when we say that Reb Shimon doesn't hold a mukta, it doesn't mean he doesn't hold of any form of mukta, it means particular types of mukta. But mukta machwech sarin kis, even Reb Shimon agrees. Now, arzi are cedar wood. Ashuchi, says Rashi, is erez nekeva, the female version of cedar wood. For those of us that are not familiar with cedar wood and these matters, there is a difference between the schorim and the nekevos, between the male and the female trees and seeds and things of that nature. You may recall about half a year ago, maybe it was a year ago, that some archaeologists found some old seeds that they discovered, and those seeds looked like they had been preserved since for the last 2,000 years or something, from the times of the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. And they planted some of the seeds. Some of them worked and some of them did not. And they said that the reason is that seeds that worked were all from the female variety. And those that didn't, the duds, if you will, those were from the male variety. So you see that there is this concept, even outside the Gemara, of the male and the female. So here too, you had male and female lumber out in your mukta, which were very expensive. Rashi says, Domeha yikarim. This wasn't your normal, regular achweis pine tree or oak tree or whatever. This is cedar tree. This is really precious stuff. And therefore, people typically would use it for construction. They wouldn't use it for making fires. So therefore, that you got to stay away from. So even Reb Shimon, that doesn't hold the din of mukta, normally agrees to the din of mukta machmas chisorin kis. So therefore, the mishnah is Reb Shimon, and there's a difference between the first mukta and the second mukta. But this Ikra Masel HaSefer, others say the other way around, and they focus on the Sefer. Avali be'etzim shema muktzah, you're not allowed to go and take the etzim out of the muktzah on Yom Tov Rav Kahana, as we say, Meres, ein maschilim be'oitzit chila, don't go and start taking from a storage place for the first time on Yom Tov without having been mazmin in advance. Mani Rabbi Yehuda, the Yisrael Muktzah. Oh, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Ein Mareisha, let's go back to the Reisha. Maschil Mareim Es HaTeven. You're allowed to take from the Reim Es HaTeven even though you were not mazmin. Shasson Rav Shimon, the last name Muktzah. Again, the same stira, Sefer and Reisha. But here the Gemara wants to say, according to the second version, that the Mishnah really goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why don't go to the Eitim Shema Mukta, the long-term storage in back of the house. Forget about it. What's the reason why you're allowed to go and take from the Arema Satevan? So Timara, awesome, Petivna Saria. The reason is because the Tevan, unfortunately, is already rotting and already has a stench. Even a behema who normally would not be makbid on what it eats, because a behema is a behema. Here the behema says, oh no, no, I can't eat that. Let the humans eat that. I can't eat that. Stinked, it's rotting, it's spoiling. Ugh! So what are you going to use it for? You're only going to use it for eitzim. So Rashi says, stamela eitzim. A person knows that he has this rotting straw on that stack of straw, and he says to himself that the only thing I could possibly use it for is making a fire. So he has it in his mind, at least in the back of his mind, even without special hazmona, explicit and express preparation and designation, he knows, if I'm going to need fuel, I got that rotting straw there in the in that pile. And that I would prefer using something else, but I guess that's the last straw. If I have nothing else, I'll use that straw for purposes of the fire. Frank Dimara, you are telling me that therefore it's not muktzah because constantly he has in his mind he's going to use it for fuel. Achaz Latina, you could go and use that straw for making bricks, like we find in the Torah. We find in Mitzrayim that Paray says, let them go and collect together kashlet and let them go and make a lubayn lebeinim, kismo shulshay. Let them make the bricks. Ah, so you see that you could use it for something else. So it's not automatically for fire, for fuel. It has other purposes for construction. So Timur, the Isbek.
So it's not so fuelish.
It's not so fuelish. Oh, beautiful. Says Timur, the Isbek Koitzim. It's talking about that unfortunately it has lots of thorns in it. And therefore, when you're going to try to knead the cement, not the cement, the mixture of the straw and water and whatever other chemicals or liquids that you use to manufacture the levain to make the bricks, you're not going to want to get to it because unfortunately there's so many thorns, it's going to make holes and punctures and scratches and wounds in your hands and in your feet, so you're going to stay away from that. The only thing you're going to use it for is for fuel and not for anything else. So it will be fuelish, or it would be fuelish to try to make from it levainim, because you're only going to hurt yourself. Okay, so anyway, the bottom line is that we've answered the stira by saying either that both go according to Reb Shimon, or both go according to Reb Yehuda, depending on the first or the second version. And now we go to the next Mishnah of the Mishnah. Ein noitum eitzim min ha-sukkah ela min ha-samachla. Isn't it unbelievable on Isru Chag when people are dismantling their sukkahs? We have this Mishnah talking about what about a premature dismantling of a sukkah. Now, in honesty, we'll see in the Gemara shortly that our Mishnah is not talking about a sukkah on Chag HaSukkahs. It's talking about a sukkah that a person is using on Pesach or on Shavuos. And the reason why he's doing it, because it's nice and it's sunny outside and he wants to have a nice hut that he can go and sit in with nice schach on top, nice branches, so it's cool. After all, they didn't have air conditioning years ago, they didn't have electric fans years ago, so this would be a nice way of cooling off a little bit going into those sukkos, even on Pesach or on Atzeres. And you recall, in fact, when I was learning this Gemara last night with my son Ben Zion, he reminded me that one of the reasons, you know, all the Mefarshim ask, why is it that we sit in Sukkos in Tishrei? The whole Indian of the Sukkos is Laman Yedu, Derisechem, Kiva Sukkos, Eshavti, Espenei Yisrael, Vaitzi Oysam Yeretz Mitzrayim. When did they leave Mitzrayim? They left Mitzrayim in Nisan, not in Tishrei. We should be sitting in Sukkos on the Seder night. We should have to go and eat our matzah, and in times of the Beis Migdash, the Karban Pesach, together with the Morar, you should have to sit inside a Sukkah, because Sukkah is a Shabti, by Tzioi Samaritan Mitzrayim. So I think it's the Vilna Gaon or others that answer that the reason why we do it in Tishrei is because Tishrei is at the end of the summer season. That's when people typically put away their huts and their shacks and their whatever, and they move into their homes because it's soon the rainy season is going to begin, and it begins to get cold. So it's just, we are doing the reverse. Instead of going back into our homes, we are leaving our homes and going into the sukkah. And the reason is because this way we're able to go and show Rabbeinu Shlomo, we're not sitting in the sukkah because it's pleasant and nice and because it's cool. We're doing it because it's the mitzvah of Yeshiva's Sukkah. So anyway, so getting back to our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is talking about that you have this type of hut or shack, and it has extra Eitzim, as we'll see momentarily. Ein noitlim Eitzim in a Sukkah. On Yontif, you're not allowed to go and take Eitzim from that Sukkah. Ela min ha-samachla. What exactly, what are we talking about, min ha-samachla? So, Rashi explains, and as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, the law in the Havamin is referring to the schach. And the Samach is telling us that if the person has extra schach on top of the sukkah. Now again, we're not talking about Hilchoi sukkah because we're talking about a Pesach and Shavuos. But what we are saying is that for a person to be able to have a nice time, to be able to go and take a nice cool drink in this hut on Pesach or on Shavuos, he doesn't need a huge amount of branches on top of his sukkah. He only needs a certain amount to block the sun. What happens if he has double the amount of the schach? That you are allowed to remove from the top of the sukkah. Why? Because what is he doing? It's extra schach, he doesn't need it. You can take that off. That's how we learn the Havamina of the Mishnah. But the Gemara immediately says, I don't understand, Mishnah min ha-sukkah d'loy. You're telling me you cannot take Eitzim from the sukkah, but only from the extra schach on the top of the sukkah. Then why can't you dismantle the sukkah on Yontif? The kasasa ayahola. That's an isser of stira. As we know, among the lamites malachas, you have binyan v'stira, building or dismantling. So if you're going to go and dismantle it, isn't that an isur? And if that's the case, and that's why the Mishnah says, "Ein noitlei Eitzim in Asukah." So why don't we say the same thing, that if you say, sorry?
It shouldn't be Stira Amanas Livnos. This is not Stira Amanas Livnos.
Okay, so there are two answers to that question. Either it could be that the reason why the Mishnah doesn't tell us why he's taking the Eitzim from the Sukkah. Maybe he's taking it because he wants to put up another Sukkah. He has friends or enemies that want to go and use his Sukkah. And so therefore he says, you know what? I'll build you your own Sukkah and you can have a nice time in the other Sukkah. So it could be that in fact our Mishnah is talking about a Stira Amaras Livnois. The Mishnah and the Gemara doesn't go into it. Or it could even be that he's doing a Stira without Amaras Livnois and it would be also Midrabanan because he's Mekalkel, he's taking something apart. But regardless, the Gemara considers this to be Asur. And if that's the reason for the Isra, Ein Noitlei Eitzim in a Sukkah, so why doesn't the same thing apply? If he's taking off extra schach, it's also taking dismantling the sukkah by taking off some of the ceiling. It's true, it's unnecessary because it's a thick schach, but who cares? Anything that you are removing from the building, from the infrastructure, aren't you being over on soiser? Omer Yira Mishmuz, Rav Yira Mishmuz says, you're absolutely right. We're not talking about extra schach. My somach, somach letfanis, means down below, that there's extra wood or extra reeds, extra schach down below, which is right next to the wall or leaning against the wall. What's it doing there? Maybe because he had extra building material and didn't need it, so he just left it there. Maybe it's too just leaning against it. The point is that this Samach Ledfanois, this was not part of the fabric of the sukkah. What's the difference between the extra schach on top or whether I have extra wood down below? So Rashi says it's very simple. When it comes to schach up above, all the schach is basically unattached, one piece of schach from the other. It's like in the good old days when people used to use, they would put up 20 or 30 bamboo sticks on top of their sukkah, which each bamboo stick was on its own. So if you added more bamboo sticks, fine, so, you know, even a thicker bamboo. But if you're removing some of that now, then you are dismantling the sukkah by taking off some of those bamboo sticks. And therefore, that would be a malacha of stira. However, if you're talking about wood which is on the ground, leaning against or next to the wall, Rashi says the wall has been constructed. Rashi uses the expression ne'erag, as if it's woven. We don't mean necessarily woven walls, but what we mean is that the pieces of wood obviously have to somehow or other merge and fuse one into the other. Many of them, you can think of the modern day sukkahs where often you have like Lego pieces, the one fits into the other and stands very nicely. For those of you that are not familiar, you can go to the sukkah stores and see all the brand new sukkahs, the way they construct them. But the point is, even the old sukkahs, if you had multiple pieces of wood, somehow or other you had to attach the wood, otherwise the whole thing would collapse, and it wouldn't be sturdy, it wouldn't be a sturdy sukkah. But those are the pieces that are all connected together. If you have other wood, which is just in front of or in back of the walls of the sukkah, maybe they're making the sukkah wall thicker, but the fact is they're not part of the fabric of the sukkah. So if when you remove it, you are not dismantling it and you're not being over on stira. That's how Rashi explains the difference between the schach on the extra schach on the ceiling or the extra wood on the side of the walls. You can talk about the original case that we were talking about, that there was extra schach on the ceiling. We're talking about a situation where the extra schach was still in bundles. It was not that you opened up the schach and spread it out over the sukkah, but rather, after you had a full-fledged schach on top of your sukkah, you took an extra bundle of bamboo sticks or reeds or whatever, and you placed it on top of the sukkah. And if you'll remember, we even had this back earlier on in Masechta the Sukkah, that people sometimes did that for temporary storage. They didn't put it into a storage bin, but they left it on the top of the sukkah just to store it there as a convenient place to put up that isurais of those bundles. So that's what the Mishnah says. You cannot go and dismantle any part of the sukkah, not from the walls and not from the schach. But if you had this extra isurais, an extra bundle on top, that's not part of the schach. You didn't even open it up. It's just still bundled. So that you could take off, like you put it up, you take it off. He brought a braisa. The braisa starts off just like our Mishnah. You're not allowed to take any of the eitzim from the sukkah, like we had in the Mishnah. From Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says you can. And the Gemara is going to ask in another five lines, but didn't you say that you're so ser es sukkah? Remember, Rabbi Shimon is talking about the reisha. Ein noitlin eitzim in a sukkah. Rabbi Shimon said, no, you can take eitzim in a sukkah. Aren't you dismantling it? Isn't that an iser of sira? So Mitchell will see in the Gemara shortly. Until now, we spoke about a sukkah which was shaloi l'shem chag sukkahs. The Shavim, but everybody agrees. The sukkah's a chag, b'chag. If you're talking about a sukkah for yontiv of sukkahs, you want to dismantle it on yontiv of vada, that's also even according to Reb Shimon. What's the reason? Why? Because it's huktash lim mitzvosai. It gets a special din of kedusha for the mitzvah of sukkahs, and therefore you're not allowed to go and dismantle it. However, if he made a condition, some sort of stipulation before sukkahs, then the stipulation would work. And the Gemara is going to talk about that in more detail a little further down. But now we go back to Reb Shimon Matir. Reb Shimon is Matir to dismantle the sukkah on Pesach or on Shavuos because Sasari Hala? Isn't he being over on Stira? Talking about a sukkah which fell to the ground. Not, no fellas, that it is falling. The Gemara perhaps is using this expression similar to the Harachman sukkah's David HaNefoles, but talking about, says Rashi Shinofa, it already fell down. So therefore, if you're going to take some of the wood from the collapsed sukkah, you're not dismantling it because there's no sukkah left. The whole sukkah is unfortunately on the ground. Okay, so, but it, what, did, weren't you, didn't you put it up before Yontif to be able to have Kiddush in the sukkah, to have a snack in the sukkah, it's nice and cool in the sukkah, so didn't you put it up for that purpose? Isn't it Mukta? After all, it was Iskatzoyle Ben Ashmashis. When Yontif began, it was a structure. So even though it fell down, Migud Iskatzoyle Ben Ashmashis is Katzoyle Kuli Yoima. Shouldn't that, says the Gemara, shouldn't that be prohibited out Mukta? Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon Tamid, the less like Mukta. That's the famous Reb Shimon that doesn't hold a Mukta. It's Reb Shimon Matir. That's Reb Shimon. This Anya, where else do we find this? Reb Shimon Lamashal, Moisir Hashem, and Shimonev, Shemakara, also Reb Shimon Matir. What happens if a person lit candles with covered Yontif, or covered Shabbos? And now, on Shabbos or Yontif, guess what happens? Eventually the wick goes out, and there's a little bit of Shemen left at the bottom. Of course, if you have candles, it's a different story, but here we're talking about that he had wicks and oil, so you now have some oil remaining on the bottom. Says the Tanakh Kama, that oil, Shemenev Shemekar, is also, it's mukt, so you can't go and use that. From Shem Matim, Shimon says, you can go and use that Moisir Shemen and add it to your salad for salad dressing. You can dip your challah into that oil. Why? Because Reb Shimon holds. Even though until now it was part of the Dvar Mitzvah, but the Mitzvah is over, so now it's not Mukta anymore, it's Matir. Frank Dimara, how can you go and compare the case of the Ner and the Shemen to the case of this Sukkah that fell apart, that collapsed? Me dummy. Awesome. Adam Yoshim Mitzap, Emesaitich Beneiroi. Since Reb Shimon holds it's Mukta to use that Shemen on a weekly basis, everybody at the table would be waiting until the Ner would finally go out. There would be some Moisra Shemen, and they'd think, ah, this is an excellent opportunity to go and dip our challah into the oil, or to use the oil for salad dressing. This is Adam Yoshim Mitzapa. People were, you know, waiting for it to happen. However, Halcha, when it comes to the Sukkah, Adam Yoshim Mitzapa, Emes Haitim Po Tzukasai, is a person waiting until the Sukkah is going to fall apart, so I'll be able to take some of the wood and use it for making a fire? Are you crazy? A person is Yoshim Mitzapa that the Sukkah should stay intact. That's the reason why I built the sukkah in the first place, to be able to have a nice, cool place to sit and be protected from the sun. So you're telling me you're waiting for the sukkah to fall down? That doesn't make sense. Talking about it already from Erev Yontif, the sukkah was shaky. And therefore everybody said, don't even touch the sukkah. If you touch it with your finger, the whole thing might fall down. Presumably, if he would have had enough time, he would have reinforced it on Erev Yontif, but he didn't get around to it. After all, Erev Yontif is one of the busiest days of the year. People are running back and forth, doing this, that, and the other thing. So, therefore, it was a sukkah ru'ua, to me esmol dati lebeng, and the person already thought to himself, if this sukkah were to fall down, okay, I won't have a place to have a nice kiddush or picnic in this sukkah. What I can do is I'll be able to at least use the wood for purposes of my fireplace to be able to either cook or to heat up the house or whatever. Now, this was a discussion that we had about a sukkah, shaloi l'shem chag sukkahs. But the Shavim Mevri agrees that the sukkahs are chag, the chag, shi asur. Even Reb Shimon would agree you cannot dismantle the sukkah, even if the sukkah fell down. You cannot take any pieces from that sukkah. It is mukta. However, it's not lefi. May not tanai, a stipulation, hakal afi tanai. Frank Yomar, mi mahani bo tanai, I don't understand this tanai business. After all, if something is asur, it's asur. Zokti Gemara, Bo'omer Rav Sheshi, Veshem Rabbi Kiva, Minai Liatzi Sukkah Shasurin Kol Shiva. How do I know that the wood of the sukkah is also the entire week? Shem, it says in the passing, Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yomim LaHashem. So where does it say anything about the inyan of being hooked to the mitzvah. Soi, the time Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira oimer minayin shekashem shechal shem shemayim ala chagiga kachal shem shemayim ala sukkah. The Gemara is darshing the word chag asukkah, says Rashi, not the way we would normally define it, chag, as the festival, the yontav of sukkahs, but chag is referring to the carbon chagiga. Karma Chagiga, as we know, is a carbon that you bring in the Beis HaMikdash. And that Karma Chagiga is totally LaHashem in the sense of that you are makdish it for a carbon. After, of course, you do this Rika Sadam, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're allowed to go and participate in my carbon, I'll give you a share. But until that point, it's only Kodesh. And that being the case, just like Chal Shem Shemayim Al Chagiga, Chal Shem Shemayim Ala Sukkah, Tam Eloimer, how do I know? Minayin, Tam Eloimer, Chag Azukkah, Shivas Yom Lashem, Machag Lashem, just like the Chagiga is totally Lashem, Av Sukkah is totally Lahashem. And therefore, if the Torah specifies and stipulates that the wood of your Sukkah is like this carbon, that it is Kodesh, how can you stipulate otherwise? It's like being Makdish and Behema for a carbon and saying, but Kodesh Baruch Hu, I make a stipulation that the carbon should continue to be mine and it should not have a din of Kedusha. What do you mean? That's the din of your Makdish, it's Kodesh. If you go and put up a sukkah for sukkahs and you put up your decorations or even without decorations, bottom line is, it's a sukkah, it's Kodesh. How does the stipulation take away that Shem Shemayim of a sukkah? Says Menashe, going back to the Braisa, remember after, if you look at the Braisa was about 8 lines from the top of the Omid. And then the Braisa ends. So we learned until now, Vim Hisna Olea is referring to the Sukkah Sachag Bechag. So you might know, it's going on the first part of the Braisa. When it says in the Braisa, Tanakama says, Ein Noitlan Eitzim in a Sukkah. What type of Sukkah are we talking about? The Sukkah of Pesach or Shavuos, that I went and put up a Sukkah to have Kiddush outside, to have a Chvais. This is not so outlandish, Rabbi Sai. Many of you know, especially today, remember in COVID times, but even without COVID times, the people that want to make a fancy sukkah, and they have a house somewhere in suburbia or wherever, they sometimes make a sukkah on their lawn. They put up a nice tent to protect you from possible rain or from the elements, and they have a beautiful kiddush. Sometimes the putting up the tent costs more than the food. But that's a separate story. The point is that people do things like that. So the person put up the sukkah for Pesach or for Shavuos, but knowing that there's always the possibility that he's going to need some of the wood of that sukkah. After all, wood is multi-purpose. And therefore he says, Rabbi Sai, I want you to know, I'm putting up the sukkah because I'd like to make Kiddush there tomorrow. I want to make a picnic and it's going to be a very hot day. It'll be nice and cool in the sukkah. But just in case I need some extra firewood for my fireplace, I want to be able to take a couple of the boards and use it for the fireplace to cook or do whatever. Zakti Gemara, you can make such a stipulation. So we're not talking about the sukkah of sukkahs. We're talking about the sukkah of Pesach or Shavuos. So that's what the Gemara is telling us. You can make as many tanoim as you want. It's not going to help. What time? We have a famous braisa. Person put up the schach, like you're supposed to. The itra, and then he put up all the nice decorations. The itra bikramim ubesadinim amutziyarin betalabo egoizim and shkedim and afarsikim and remoinim bapachilia novim yeinu shmanim vislosois atorishibolim, all different types of sukkah decorations. We don't necessarily do these particular ones, but nevertheless, we do put up decorations even today, as you all know. So all of those things, they become, if you will, part of the fabric of the sukkah. And also the stopping the hand, and matzion the bakron shulchag, and you're not going to go and use and have a no from any of them until matzion tiv, until last night. However, if he makes a tanai in advance, then that type of tanai would work. So you see, you can make a tanai on the decorations. The Gemara assumes that since the decorations are decorating the sukkah, just like the sukkah is holy shem shemayim, and you cannot go and have anoh until after Yom Tov is over, and you can't make stipulations, so you shouldn't be able to make stipulations by the noy sukkah either. And here the Gemara is saying you can make a stipulation. So make up your mind, can you not, what's going on? Everything more abayi, rabbi damon chabayi. But oimer eini boidul mehem kol ben hashmoshes. In the case of the decorations, the person says at the outset of Yom Tov, when Bein HaShemoshes hits, he says, Rabbeisai, I'm not being bodel. The word bodel is like the word Lashon Havdalah. I am not separating myself from all of those objects, from all of those decorations. Now, of course, modern day decorations that we have, like posters that we put up on the walls, or you have those things that you hang from the schach, some people would say that they weren't even manufactured for sukkahs, they were manufactured to go and use for lehavdil alfei havdalos for a Christmas tree or whatever. But the point is, there's not great utility to it, it's just decorative. But the things that the Mishnah or that the Gemara was just enumerating, like the egoizim, shkedim, mafarzikim, parchile, anovim, yenushmanim, these are things that a person could use on Yom Tov. If he has a cluster of grapes, or he has a bottle of wine, or a bottle of shemen hanging from his schach, he might want to use that on Yom Tov. So therefore, if he says at the time of the beginning of Bein HaShemoshes, Eini boidul mehem, I'm not separating myself from them. I want to continue to own that property and have a financial interest in that property. Then Kedusha is not chal, and then in fact he could remove it throughout the Yom Tov. Aval atzei sukkah, the chal Kedusha layu, it's katzoyle shiva. There you have no choice. You can say any boitel 100 times, but it's going to have the Kedusha sukkah because of the pasuk that we said before, that chag sukkah shiva siyam l'Hashem, machagigu l'Hashem, of sukkah lahashem. So, bottom line is the Gemara is distinguishing between the atzi sukkah and the noi sukkah. Zok the Gemara, umayshno mehodi itmar. Let me ask you a question. We had this Gemara already before. We had it towards the end of Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Vav. It says, hifresh shiva esroigim l'shiva hayom. You have a person who is a wealthy individual, and instead of buying one esrog, he buys 7 esrogim. Or, people gave him presents, and he had 7 esrogim. And, he intends using 1 esrog per day. So, hifresh shiva esrogim l'shiva hayom. He took 7 esrogim, esrog 1 is going to be used on day 1, esrog 2 on day 2, and so on and so forth. Now we have a machloket between Rav and Ravasi. When do these esroigim become mutter la'achila for eating or for cooking? Each one of them, you can use the esrig, for instance, your esrig aleph on day 1 of Sukkis. When you're finished using it and all your friends and family use it, when it's all done, then you can go and use it the same day. The same day you could not, only the next day. And the machlokes between Rav and Ravasi really is not negiah to us. The machlokes is when something becomes huktza lemitzvasai, is it just for that short period of time that he needs it to be mekayim the mitzvah, or does it mean the entire day interval within which you could have performed the mitzvah? And so therefore, Rav says, once you did the mitzvah, you're done, and assuming nobody else needs it, it's no longer muktzah. But Ravasi said, since you could have shook lulav and esrog even until shkia time at night, it's a whole day mitzvah, it's not dafk in the morning, so therefore it becomes hukla mitzvah, so the ganze tug. But kuli alma moida, that once the day is over, the muktzah goes away. Why? Why does it go away? L'choira, at the time that he had the 7 esroigim, when he was bought them, l'shem, mitzvahs, lulav v'esrog, it should be like the case of the sukkah. that as soon as he's saying I'm using it for sukkahs, what would happen if a person has seven sukkahs? Would you go and say that each night you can go and dismantle the sukkah because he was ready yoytze the mitzvah sukkah? Apparently not. It's only by Yisra'el, not by sukkah. So what's the difference? Manishtana. I know manishtana is a term that you use on Pesach, but we have chamisha usa, chamisha usa. We have gzeira shavah. So therefore, manishtana lulav and esrog from a sukkah. Anything more? It's very simple. Hasim the mitzvah ki levis miyamim kolchad v'chad yoyim a mitzvah biapin afshihu. Every single day of sukkahs is a separate mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Which respect that it's a separate mitzvah? There's no mitzvah at night, it's only during the day. When it comes to sukkahs, and the Gemara says yomim, even leilois. And that's why, in fact, the real only mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah is the first night. If you sit throughout the rest of Yom Tov, because you're mekayim a mitzvah, that's why we make a bracha. However, the chiyuv mitzvah is only the first night, like Tesvav Tesvav from Chag HaMatzos, even though there's a mitzvah kiyumis throughout the rest of Yom Tov. Masha'en kein, when you're talking about the lulav and esrog, it's only a day mitzvah, not a night mitzvah. So therefore, when the person initially set aside seven esrogim, one per day, as he uses that one per day, that's the one that he uses that day. It's hooked to the mitzvah, say, either for as long as he's still shaking lulav and esrog, or for the whole day. Machlok is Rav and Ravasi. But once the day is over, the hooked to the mitzvah goes away because he has six more esrogim. Masha'en kein. When it comes to the sukkah and nitzikul levis kiyamim, kuli yom mekachod yom arichta dami. It's like a yom arichta. It's like one long 7 day. One day. It's not a 7 days of 24 hours each. Rather, it's 168 hours, yeah? Something like that. 7 times 20, 168. So it's a 168-hour day, a long day of 168 hours. And that's the reason why, since it's one long day. Since it's a tzoy the Ben Eshmash, it's a tzoy the Kuliyoyma for the whole day, whole day. So you're going to say, but how do you make them separate brachas each time? Even with us. Every day, if you go and eat breakfast in the sukkah in the morning, and then you eat lunch and you eat dinner, even though it all took place during the day, you still make multiple brachas. So the fact that you make multiple brachas in Nishkaraya makes no difference how many meals you eat in the sukkah. You always make a separate bracha. So bottom line is, when it comes to sukkah, if you made it if you built the sukkah, any tanai that you're going to make on the sukkah itself is not going to help, because it's kadosh for the entire sukkahs. Why by esrog is it only kadosh for that day? That you had seven esrogim, the seven separate mitzvahs, seven separate days. So therefore, it only becomes muktzah for that performance of the mitzvah, only for that day. So stop over here, Rabbi Yitzhai, and let them continue with the Mishnah tomorrow at 8:05. Any questions? Hearing none, Mitzvah 8:05 tomorrow on the Zoom. Mitzvah, see you all then. Have a good winter. All the very best.
Good winter.
Thank you.